It is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken down pier off the eastern seacoast of Florida. Pure gratitude and the answer of a promise. Every Friday night until he died in 1973, he would return walking slowly, bent over, hurting, carrying a big old bucket full of shrimp. Every Friday evening, the seagulls would come around there and he would feed them from his bucket, handing them out. Because he had made a promise. You see, many years before, in October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was flying in a mission on a B-17 bomber, on a secret mission, to deliver an important message to Douglas MacArthur, the great general, fighting over in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would take Captain Eddie into one of the most harrowing experiences of his life, pretty near costed. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of the radio. Perhaps the navigation was wrong. Perhaps somebody had misread the coordinates, but they got out of radio contact and fuel ran out, and so they ditched the plane in the ocean. And for nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight water, the weather, the sun. They spent nights laying in a simple rubber raft, feeling this bump as sharks banged up against it, knowing there was something up there. At one point, they looked down out of their 5-foot-long raft where 9 were seated and saw a 10-foot-long shark swim by. Of all their enemies at sea, it seemed that starvation was going to become their most formidable. After 8 days, their rations were gone. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and that is what happened. He wrote these words that Cherry, the B-17 pilot, a fellow by the name of William Cherry, read to service that afternoon, and when we had finished, we asked him to put forth a prayer of deliverance, leaning on the promise of God to deliver us. There was some talk, but it tapered off. It was hot. And eventually I fell asleep, pulled my hat down over my eyes, and just started waiting. He said that something landed on my head all of a sudden. I felt my head, and I looked out from under the bill, and I saw everyone staring at me. He said, I knew a seagull had landed on my hat. He said, not a word, but just very carefully, if I could only catch it, that seagull meant food. And the rest, they say, is history. He caught the gull. They cut it up and used it for bait to start catching fish. And they began to survive a little bit better. Their hopes renewed. Their strength kept on. They would put the rainwater they could gather up and drink from that. And 1 month later, a lone pilot out on a mission happened to see them floating off the coast of Florida. Swooped in, got them, saved them. Now you know. One fish was saved for them to eat because one gull gave up its life. God's promise was revealed hundreds of miles from land. And now you know the story, and he never forgot a simple promise that he made, because every Friday evening about sunset on a lonely stretch across that seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy eyebrows, slightly bent, his bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls, to thank them, to remember his promise. And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. But you really don't. You see, I have always been fascinated with Captain Eddie Rickenbacker because he's everything I always wanted to be. You see, when he was growing up, all he wanted to do was fool with machinery. And when he was growing up, back in them days, machinery was wild. There was no safety guards. There wasn't much of it. You could pretty much put anything together with anything you had. And he became a daredevil. He was a race car driver. and an airplane pilot, and he owned the Indianapolis Speedway for a long time, and he went on to become a giant in the field of aviation. And if you don't understand, Eastern Airlines was started because of Eddie Rickenbacker. How many remember Eastern Airlines? Of course, ain't there no more. But he had a neat time one time. He said that the Douglas Aircraft Company was competing with Boeing to sell Eastern Airline its first of the great big jet airliners that were coming out. And when Eddie heard of it, and he was the head of Eastern Airlines, he went to Douglas and he listened to their claims. And then he went to Boeing and he listened to their claims. And he went back to Douglas because he was curious. He said, "Here's your last chance to out-promise me past what Boeing could do." After consulting with his engineers, he said they could make their planes quieter. "Douglas, can you make your planes even quieter than Boeing can?" After consulting, Douglas said that they didn't think they could fill that promise. And he said, "Well, I know you couldn't, but I just wanted to see if there was still truth. You got the contract." Open your Bibles. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. We just heard these words, but we're going to hear them again because I was inspired this past Sunday to remember them. To remember that promise made with truth. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Would you mind standing while the word of the Lord is read? Jesus speaking these words, I love saying them. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." But Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him. Let us pray. Father, strengthen our hearts and minds and set aside our labors that we may hear your word. The words given to me by you, not mine, that we may be strengthened in the time to come, and that we may remember your promise. In Jesus' precious name, all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, it is funny to me how a promise and truth go hand in hand, right? There was a great Chinese philosopher that once said, "A man that is apt to promise everything is absolutely apt to forget everything." I always found that amusing. I promise. Without truth, it has no weight. A promise is nothing unless there's truth to back it up. This past Monday, we learned again the promise of the Lord when Suzanne was called home. And yes, if you think that I'm going to stand up here on a Sunday morning after she just passed and not be influenced by her in this sermon, you don't know me very well. I haven't quit thinking about her or the words that were spoken or the people that were around her. She lived for that promise. Because quite frankly, I don't know how in the world else you could have suffered the way she did for 3 years without knowing that promise. Without believing that promise. Without having that promise right there in front of her the whole time. And the reason she believed in that promise is because it's the truth. That book says the words are the truth. End of discussion. And yet when we're reading through those scriptures, we see that the men that Jesus chose to go along with him are what? They're a bunch of blockheaded men, aren't they? Right there stands in front of them, telling them, this is what I promise you. This is the truth I give you. Yeah, but how do we know? I'm sure Jesus had to have more patience than you could ever possibly imagine. Because not only did they forget, but how often do we forget? I think too often we forget that a promise must be of and have truth to make it worthwhile. So I thought I would give you an example of promises that may or may not have much truth to them. I promise Daddy to clean up my room. Boy, that never happens. I promise that I will not beat my brother up anymore today. I can get away with a couple of these because she ain't here. And if you all tell on me, well, it won't be the first time. I promise that you can hear these words coming right out of her. I promise, honey, if you'll just do this one more thing for me, I'll let you have your Sunday afternoon nap. That one more thing is one more thing is one more thing. Suddenly it's bedtime. How about this one? I promise, honey, I am just going to this auction just to look around and I am not going to try to buy any more tractors. I will guarantee that one has no truth to it whatsoever. How quickly those words roll out. The promises that we spew out. Oh, I promise, I promise, I promise. And we all fall short of it. And the minute we fall short of it, the person that you made that promise to gets mad. And then you get mad because they're mad at you because you promised. We throw that around too much. But God gave us a very serious promise when He laid it out with Jesus Christ that there was a home made for us in heaven for those who simply have the faith to believe in Him. Amen. And that's what we heard this past Monday. A reminder, if you will. Don't forget it. I found this, and I thought it was kind of interesting, that a promise made from God is a statement that we can depend on with absolute confidence. Here are 12 promises for the Christian to claim. I love them so much that I'm going to get them put out there, and we're going to have them made up for a handout next Sunday. Unfortunately, it came to me a little too slow. God's presence, I will never leave thee. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave thee. On my way over here this morning, because I happen to be in Hagerstown, and that's a good thing for me, because I can't always get it on that side of the mountain. 93.5, full of good old stained glass bluegrass. One of the songs I heard was a Charlie Moore song called God Answered the Prayer. And in there, the statement is, He never left and will never leave. That's a promise. Number one. Number two, He will protect you. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 says what? I am thy shield. He is in front of me. I'll follow Him. God's power, I will strengthen thee. Boy, we could all use that one, couldn't we? Maybe we ought to put that one on our foreheads backwards so we see it in the mirror in the morning. I will strengthen thee for the day ahead. I will strengthen thee for the things that need to be done. I will strengthen thee for all you need to go through. That was in Isaiah 41, verse 10. God's provision, I will help thee. These are promises. Again from Isaiah, God's leading, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before Him. John chapter 10, verse 4. What was the biggest sheep? What was the sheep that he put before for us to follow? It was Jesus Christ. He promised. And it had truth. So it had weight. God's purpose. Now here's the one that I always laugh at. Because I often wonder about His purposes. First of all, sometimes I wonder about His purpose with me, but God has a purpose for everything, but nobody yet can explain to me giraffes. I'm waiting on that. I have no idea what they're for. And I laugh every time I see one of them things. And so somebody trying to be smarter than me said, well, they have long necks so they can reach the trees. They got the leaves they like to eat. Why don't you just make the trees shorter? And then my wife always says, He has a purpose. All right, I can't argue with that. God has purpose. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Jeremiah 20, verse 11. God's rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11. God's cleansing. Oh man, do we need that? When do you need to be cleansed? When you wake up, when you go to bed, and then everywhere in between. He promises that if you have sinned and you are repentant and you come back to me, I will clean it out. God's cleansing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1. That's a great promise. Is there anybody in here who can go through the day without sinning? All right, well, I'll make it easy. Just a day. One day. All right, no hands up. 9 hours. No, you're no takers. 4 hours. Come on, I'll be like an auctioneer in reverse. 1 hour. 1 minute? That's right. You can't do it. I know I can't. You should have heard me wanting to sin when I slammed the door shut on my hand this morning. That hurt. God's cleansing if we confess our sins. That is a great promise to have, because everything that we have to suffer through on this earth, everything that we will be poised to take on, every attack that will be brought against you because you stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. He will cleanse you from the sins. He will uphold you. He will protect you. He will go in front of you. And He's not done. We have a few more to go. His goodness. No good thing will He withhold from them that work uprightly. Let's stop right there for a second. I told you Suzanne affected my sermon this week. No good thing will He withhold from them who work for Him uprightly. I know that she prayed day in and day out for Leroy. I know because I was there for a lot of them. Look where he's at. Maybe one day he'll sit up front. That's all right, Leroy. You're in the door. That's all I care about. But he came. And you all were there to see it happen. That's a promise that has weight because it's truthful. God's faithfulness. The Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. 1 Samuel, God's guidance. The meek He will guide. Psalm 25, God's wise plan. All things work together for those who love God. Romans 8. I'll make that up and get Greg to help me out with doing some printing on that, won't I, Greg? All right, then. I cannot think but for all those that I have known in my lifetime that have gone on to that great reward and saw that promise fulfilled. I can't help but think of all those who stand just outside those doors and look and say, well, that can't be true. That can't be a real promise, and would forsake what there could be beyond this life for the simple fact of satisfaction here on this old mud ball. And we get lost. In our daily life, we are all too often want to be that person who makes a promise and keep it. I do. When I make a promise, I desperately want to keep it. I'm not making it just to hush up my wife. Well, most of the time I'm not. When I say I promise, I want to fulfill it. Because it's what it means. But we're just human. And we cannot always win that battle. And so we have to look toward how we approach saying I promise something. We have to be in truth of it. But now there's a lot of people that go around just simply saying it. Go watch a good car ad on TV one time. Boy, I love seeing them. And this here pickup truck, friends and neighbors, I'll promise you will get 50 miles to the gallon. Man, I need a pickup truck that gets 50 miles to the gallon. Sometime, if you can, go get a hold of the fine print and read it. It probably says something like this. This truck will get 50 miles to the gallon as long as it's going downhill in a tornado with nothing in the bed and you've got it in neutral. But they'll promise it, won't they? I promise you, if you put this miracle hair grow on, your hair will grow back luxurious. I put that stuff on my head and it burnt my scalp. We all fall for it. And promise has become a way of life. I promise, I promise, I promise. And it doesn't always work like that. So we need to remember that a promise has to have weight and has to have truth. And we want to be promised to so bad sometimes that we are blind to the fact that the truth is missing from the promise and will fall for it every time. At a county fair, a Quaker dressed in his distinctive outfit, long frock coat, wide hat. At a county fair, he was offering a horse for sale. Now, a non-Quaker farmer came up and took a look at that horse, and he knew that they had a promise for fair dealing, and he didn't really ask a whole lot of questions. He just bought the horse right on the spot. That's a Quaker. They promise. Didn't ask nothing. Got the horse home and discovered that the thing was lazy, ill-tempered, bit him, wouldn't half eat, wouldn't pull the plow, couldn't do anything with it. So the next day he carried back to the fair and he confronted that Quaker. The Quaker said, "Thou hast no complaint against me. Had thou asked me about thy horse, I would have told thee truthfully the problems, but thou didn't ask." "That's okay," said the farmer. "I ain't here to try to get you to take the horse back. I just want to sell him to somebody else. Can I borrow your hat and coat?" We get lost in that world sometimes. Can't stop it. Can't go away from it. What we need to remind ourselves of is, do not let your hearts be troubled. My inspiration for this sermon came from Suzanne, but on my way home, fiddling around with the radio, I stumbled across the bluegrass version of an old hymnal, which I have found out is not in our new hymnal, but I have been assured that that will be fixed, and we will sing this song again, because this song deserves to be sung. And I was just going to read the lyrics, but I will sing the first verse because you played it this morning. Did you do that because of the sermon title, or did you just happen to do it? That's all right. I come womping into church and I was like, hey, and heard this hymn. "Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless was He. He the great example is and pattern for me." Can you do it with me? "Where He leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where He leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day." Sweet are the promises. Sweet are the promises that one day Through everything we've got to toil and struggle through, sweet are the promises. I have made you a place in heaven. It has your name on the door. It is waiting for you. You believe in me and you will come home. Amen. And we'll cross that gate. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I guarantee you, some of us will be humming as we go through there. Sweet are the promises. Brothers and sisters, in the week to come, remember what a promise is. A promise without weight and truth is empty. But the God that we know, that we love, has given us a promise that weighs the right amount, has the correct amount of truth, and will never, ever change. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, how sweet are those promises? It's what keeps us close. It's what draws us to you, Father. It's what brings us in. And oft times we may step off to the side and forget about it. When we get beaten down by the world, we tend to start looking around and we try to find a way out of everything, but we need to stop, pray, accept the promises, be cleansed, be lifted, be guided. Know that you're in front of us. We may always know how sweet those promises are, and that when our time has come, and it will, that promise be fulfilled. Oh, how it must be in heaven for those waiting on us to know that those of us who love and accept your Son will see that promise. It lifts us, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you have that particular need, as we come to the close of the service today, the prayer bench is open. If you need me to pray with you, I stand ready. If not, come on up here and pray anyways. If you need to know the Lord a little closer, I'm standing here ready.
Please stand and turn to page 552.
Well, that's a good one, too.